going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. Take command. Instant reaction. Didn't see that one coming. Kevin Sheehan is here. Again, Logan will have more tomorrow with me. I'm Craig Hoffman. And Kevin, they took Josh Connerly, tackle, Oregon. Third-year junior, massive human being, 6'5", 315 pounds. He's got 34 1/4-inch arms. He's a tackle's tackle in terms of build. But considering Donovan Ezeraku was available, considering Mike Green was available, considering Will Johnson was available, what do you make of the pick?
Well, I mean, first of all, clearly Will Johnson and Mike Green were off their board. You know,
yes.
Injury and then character stuff with Mike Green, because they were clearly had to be the two most talented players on the board. So after that, clearly Connerly was the best player available. I mean, the interesting thing is he's going to play right tackle or he's going to get moved inside, but he's only played left tackle. They don't think it's a concern, but like you said, big dude, trenches move, trying to keep up with Philadelphia. He had to have been better than Hairston, better than Amos, better than Trevion Henderson. I wouldn't have taken a running back that, you know, in the first round other than Genty. But, you know, he's going to tell us Josh Connerly was the best player on the board, somebody we had talked about all along. We were hoping he'd fall to us. We'll hear all that. And we, you know, continue to invest in our prized possession, our quarterback, and the protection of him.
It's hard to get super mad at a pick on the offensive line when everybody in the entire league agrees there's nothing better than just having a great offensive line. But I don't really get it because they kept telling us Brandon Coleman's a tackle. And so if Brandon Coleman's your right tackle, why are you drafting a dude who's a right tackle? You just traded for a left tackle. So I do think that it is worth pointing that out. I also think it's worth pointing out that in this division, the pass rushers are insane.
They are.
And the Philadelphia Eagles have a bunch of dudes on multiple spots. The Cowboys have Micah Parsons. And now the Giants, the weak link in the division, quote unquote, have Abdul Carter joining Brian Burns and Kayvon Thibodeau. And while Thibodeau has not exactly been a top five pick caliber player, he has been remarkably good against Washington for whatever reason. And so I think that is relevant, that you just can't have a weak link on your O-line in this division, especially when your prized possession is Jaden Daniels. I also would say that, you know, the doubling down of this is specific to what they want out of their linemen. Like, Connerly's a really good athlete. That is probably his best trait. This is a guy that they showed in the highlight package on NFL Network. He's out there with the ball stiff-arming dudes in high school, or might have even been middle school. He gets out on the edge, and considering all the GT pull and counter type of stuff they do, and you think of how athletic that right side of the offensive line is when Wiley was at his best last year alongside San Cosme, in the long term, the pairing of those two, Kevin, I think is really interesting because it does give you that stylistic, you know, speed, movement, ability to move the pocket, and running game stuff that we know they want out of their offense.
I think one of the things that we have learned over the last month is that Brandon Coleman's clearly not a left tackle. That's number one. Number two is the days for Wiley and Allegretti are both numbered. And whether it's not this year because of Cosme's injury, but eventually Coleman's either going to be, you know, a left guard replacing Allegretti with Cosme at right guard, or he's going to be the right tackle and maybe Connerly is the guard. I don't know. But I think we've learned that they didn't feel like they had a legit long-term answer at left tackle. They got one. And they understand that Wiley and Allegretti's days are numbered, meaning perhaps this next year is the last year for them.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the other thing that I really appreciate about them is last year they made the O-line work. And I think the offensive line talent was better last year than people gave it credit for going into the year. And I'm talking about the national expert types who were like, they're going to get Jaden Daniels killed. I can't believe it. And it's like, no, Eric Bieniemy was that bad at designing offense and calling plays. And he made that talent look. And then Sam Howell was also a sack magnet quarterback, like sacks for a quarterback sack. And sorry to bring up old stuff, but like, oh my God, Sam Howell, which is why he couldn't get on the field this year in Seattle at all. Even when Geno was hurt, they're like, no, we'd rather play Geno on one leg than Sam Howell for a week. And so they realized how to get through last year while making do with what they had, but they did not then rest on their laurels and settle on what they had. They realize if we want to compete with Philadelphia, which is the gold standard of the league right now, nevertheless, their own division, we got to get better. We got to make our strength stronger, and then we're going to have to address weaknesses.
And
they did that. They got bigger. They got bigger. They got faster. They accentuated. And I think this also probably tells us, one, about some of the guys that we mentioned that they didn't take, but also about what they think is possible at 61 positionally and some of the rushers, for instance, they might think are going to be available later on.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned, I agree with you on everything you said about the offensive line because you kind of heard it subtly implied by Quinn before the season started that they didn't think they were as bad along the offensive line as maybe the outside world thought they were. And the reason being what you just said, the year before you had a terrible offensive coordinator and a pretty bad quarterback. And so they made it work with scheme, with play calling, and with a dynamic quarterback who helped them out as well. But the talent wasn't that bad. But they still, like you said, they didn't rest on their laurels because they realize Brandon Coleman is a nice player and he's a piece somewhere along this offensive line as we develop it into a line that can handle NFC East pass rushes, like you mentioned, specifically Phillies, although the Giants have been talented defensively with Lawrence and Burns and Thibodeau, and now they've added Abdul Carter. And I think we're just seeing that it's going to be eventually Tunsil and Connerly, and then probably Coleman and Cosme and Biotish.
I think you're right. And I think the other thing, like, you start to think a little bit deeper about it, right? And I've got the beast up because, of course, I do, especially if you've listened to the show, either the radio show or this show. You know, it's never far away when I'm talking about the draft.
What's up?
I've got the beast, Dane Brugler's draft guide up, which is always, to me, the go-to resource. Dane's got the strengths here listed like this and the weaknesses. I'll just read these out real quick. Outstanding lateral quicks, change of direction, and overall movement skills. Explosive jump setter to easily easily cut off pass rush angles. Elite recovery balance. Average height, but above average arm length and big, firm hands.
Keeps head on his, what are his arms?
34 and a quarter.
Really?
He's big. This dude's got real tackle size.
The arms to me are huge because shorter arms means that they're probably leaning inside. Longer arms means
I don't think he's a guard. This dude's a tackle. Yeah. I think sometimes we get a little too happy with that. Like, there's nothing about Josh Connerly that says guard.
Sorry.
Head on a swivel to locate blitzes and stunts, something they struggled with at times last year. And on down the list it goes. And a lot of these, you know, raw strength, aggressive play style, like that sounds like a commander. Before I get to the weaknesses, the one thing that I think is a one that kind of made me think a little deeper about this is that explosive jump setter to easily cut off pass rush angles, right? If you have if you're a tackle who can be aggressive and you have the quickness to do stuff quickly on like that jump set, and you're not necessarily worried about getting beat as inside, that could be for two reasons. One, you're a good enough athlete to recover, which he is. It's not going to be perfect all the time. You don't want that. But also, that works really well with a quarterback who gets the ball out quick. Where if you can get outside and you can just be in the way for a little bit, and that allows your quarterback to get the ball out quickly, that works well. That is the basis of their offense, is the run game stuff and the quick game. Everything else, like Jaden's going to create magic. We know that he can push the ball down the field. We know they want to be vertical. They've got the air raid components because Cliff is the offensive coordinator. But like, this is a guy that the more I think about it, I think the more it makes sense. I'm very curious to talk to Loken because he's obviously the offensive line guru here about this tomorrow. But I do think like an athletic guy who can do the stuff they want in their run game, that they can be as diverse as they want in the run game, with a guy who is not going to get beat super quickly because of his athleticism and his reaction ability, is more important to this offense than, say, a more sturdy guy who can sustain blocks for a long time, which I might want with a guy like Joe Burrow, who's going to be less afraid to just sit back there forever and hold the football. That's not really how Jaden rolls. And so from that aspect, maybe I'm trying to find positives in a pick that I haven't really thought about a lot, because this guy was not on my list of really readily prepared dudes to talk about, Kevin, but that is something that at least makes sense when I say it out loud.
It makes sense to me, but I think, like you said, like, this is the position that I think it's really hard for most people to really understand, because there's a hell of a lot involved in what they're planning to do scheme-wise. And, you know, Josh Connerly, I looked at a bunch of those offensive linemen. I really thought Tyler Booker, had he fallen, and he didn't, that they would have gobbled him up, because
I'm fairly confident you are correct on that.
Yeah. I know that they liked him, but Dallas took him. But, you know, I think getting bigger, better, more athletic in the trenches to deal with Philadelphia, where you've got to win more games than the Eagles to get home field, makes sense to me. Now, I'm really interested in what comes next, because they didn't add, you know, sacks as Araku was there. Clearly, Green was probably not a player that they were interested in. You've got running backs galore that you'll have an opportunity to draft. There's still some corners, although did a corner go at the end of the first round here or not?
End of the first round, Josh Simmons went off the board.
Harrison went right after Washington.
Yeah, so Harrison went. Would be surprised if Harrison was an awful lot of boards. There's some off-field stuff with him.
Yeah.
Of course, freaking Jahad Campbell fell to the Eagles. That's your annoying Eagles player, which is an annual tradition that the NFL could stop doing at really any time.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more, and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Go ahead, Kevin.
No, I just think what comes next is interesting. I mean, when they were on the clock there, I thought I was convinced at that point it wasn't going to be Johnson or Green. They had fallen too far. And I just thought Washington, the way they picked, the way they're so focused on culture. I mean, Will Johnson isn't a culture issue. He's an injury issue, clearly, because he was the most talented corner in the draft. I thought going into it, unless you want to say Travis Hunter was, there was an injury there, and Green had the issues at UVA and in high school, and that's why he ended up at Marshall. But to me, in watching all of the edges, he, to me, was the second most gifted and talented after Carter.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you have, you know, Ezeraku, who's 245 pounds. He's not an edge setter. He's not going to be a first down guy as a rookie anyway. But
and he also can't run. Like, it shows up on tape, and he didn't run at the combine. And you know what you don't do at the combine if you're 245 pounds?
Who are you talking about?
Ezeraku.
I thought Ezeraku did run at the combine.
He did not.
Okay.
He did not run at the combine. And you don't, if you're 245 pounds and you're fast,
pro day?
You don't run. Like, no data on a 40 for. If you Google 40 times, something pops up. I have no idea where that, like, this is. The current level of AI pulling on the internet is terrible. I have no idea where that data came from because it's not in any of the official profiles. You start clicking around. It's like, nope, didn't run. It's not in Dane's The Beast, which is the most comprehensive data collection that exists in draft world. And it's not on the NFL profile. So Ezeraku, he did everything else, but he did not run. I also talked to a scout this morning who pointed that out to me. He's like, he didn't run at the combine, which is,
yeah,
which
I don't
wouldn't
see a time
do if,
on him either.
Which you don't do if you're fast. And so in a division where you have to run after Jalen Hurts, or if you're, you know, if you're the Giants looking at him, or you're the Eagles or whatever looking at him, you got to chase after Jaden Daniels. Like, you're not taking a guy who can't run. So that is, I think, why he fell. That he's going to go early tomorrow. And I would have been just fine if they took him, considering the production. But Emmanuel Worry falls. You know, there's some interesting names available. I think the fact that only the two running backs went is a good thing for Washington. I think, you know, the more Henderson, the more Johnson, the more those guys fall, the more it pushes the next group down. I think that is obviously good. I'm curious, though, like, you know, Ezeraku and Green, that's two edges that a lot of people had going in the first round, Kevin, which means two more edges get pushed down, hopefully to Washington. And guys like, you know, maybe Femi Oladejo, the UCLA kid, maybe he's available at the end of the second round all of a sudden.
Yeah, I like JTT from Ohio State. I like Landon Jackson, and I like Oladejo too from
Scorton
UCLA. Yes, Scorton to me would be a little bit below some of those guys, but I know a lot of people liked him more. Yeah, and you're gonna have edge rushers and backs available when you get to 61, no doubt.
And I think corner is the other interesting one as well. Obviously, Johnson.
I agree.
You kind of almost just swap Johnson and Hairston, because Hairston, I think, was not in most first round mocks. He was in some, but Johnson certainly the guy who was in most. Ravel, yeah. Amos, Morrison's fascinating. He could go early. He could also go in the fifth round because his injury situation is a nightmare.
Who did you say?
Benjamin Morrison, the corner out of Notre Dame.
Let me just tell you, I would bet you that they like him. I don't know if they like him at 61 because of the injuries, but I think that he's a player that they like. The guy that I don't get why he's projected like late tomorrow night or even Saturday is Darian Porter from Iowa State. Like he's a freak. He is an absolute freak size wise, arm length wise. Like he's 6'3", he's got the longest arms or among the longest arms in the draft. And the problem is he only basically started 8 games, which is crazy. But a special teams guy, like there are some corners that are going to be there tomorrow night. The problem, of course, is right now they only have one pick.
Yes. And if they could trade out somewhere early third, that'd be perfectly fine with me if they can pick up a later third. But they're probably like at this point, I mean, to move one pick with the Giants or not the Giants, the Eagles and Chiefs exchange like a fifth. Like you're not getting a late. You're probably not getting another day two pick by trading out of 61. So the value's not there. So they are probably going to pick once tomorrow. I just don't see how it would work for them to not just pick once tomorrow. That doesn't mean they couldn't pick up another pick on Saturday. But the chances that they pick up two picks tomorrow seems slim to none. One more name I'll flag is Noel Williams, the cornerback out of Cal. Might be a little early, but in a cornerback class that's low on outside guys, he's another guy that fits that mold and is definitely going to have the Commanders tag. A guy who just plays his face off is a corner out of Cal. We talked about him quite a bit with Jeremy Green as we took him in our mock drafts a couple of weeks ago. Any final thoughts on Josh Connerly, Kevin?
No, I'm at that point where they've given me enough reason to kind of believe in what they're doing. And I thought all along that offensive line was possible. I didn't necessarily consider Connerly at the top of the list, but I get it because of his size, because of his talent. But it's just interesting that, you know, he hasn't played anywhere else. So they're clearly projecting him to play at right tackle when he's been nothing but a left tackle based on everything that I've seen and read. And, you know, now we know that, you know, I think Allegretti and Wiley are days are numbered. This is going to be their last year coming up. At least that would be the hope with younger players like Coleman and Connerly and Tunsil under, you know, an extended contract at some point. But I honestly can't wait for tomorrow night now to see what they do at 61. And they didn't have a chance to trade back. Oh, here's one thing that I thought about when the Giants made that trade, and I was kind of upset that I didn't say this on my show at all. Maybe you did. But the idea that the Rams were in the market for a quarterback potentially made 25 in Houston really the trade-up spot if there was going to be a trade-up spot for a quarterback. Because there had been talk all along that the Rams were looking at Dart. They were looking at, you know, various quarterbacks to eventually replace Matt Stafford when he finally moves on or retires. And that's where the Giants went, right in front of the Rams. So that was the spot for whomever the second quarterback was. And it wasn't Sanders, it was Dart. I'm not a big fan of Dart, honestly. Every big game he played in, he seemed to throw it to the wrong team too many times. Go watch the Florida game in particular. But we'll see.
Yeah, I think him with Dable, though, is a very interesting fit. And knowing he doesn't have to start right away, I think is a good thing for him. The funny thing is like Dable's best bet is to not start him right away. And then he's got to be like, yeah, but like the kid's great in practice. Give me another year. So we'll see how that goes on him saving his job. So I also think that the Rams were a trade back candidate in a lot of spots. Like that was a spot where I saw a lot of trades mocked last minute. So I also wonder if that made Houston viable on top of the fact that the Rams might have been looking at a quarterback themselves. So definitely a good shout on that one. We had, after Atlanta made the most logical pick of the draft with Walker, they made the most what the bleep are you doing pick of the draft. And James Pierce Jr.
Yeah.
Again, their inability to read the league is just unbelievable. A guy that no one else was touching in the first round, they make a trade into the first round for. Excellent job out of you, Atlanta. No notes. You have fully falconed for 2 years in a row. We'll talk more about this on our respective radio shows tomorrow, or if you're listening to this in the podcast, later today. Kevin Sheehan, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the Team 980. He's also got his own podcast if you want uninterrupted Sheehan for longer periods of time, the Kevin Sheehan Show podcast. Search for it wherever you get yours. And I'll see you guys at 4 o'clock on the radio. Also, Logan and I are doing a Take Command tomorrow morning. Again, it's still tomorrow morning. It's 11:58 p.m. right now. So tomorrow morning, Logan and I will do a fresh episode with a much deeper dive on Josh Connerly, a full scouting report from Logan, and then we'll also look ahead to the best available on Logan's board for the Commanders on Friday. For Kevin Sheehan, I'm Craig Hoffman. Thanks for watching and listening to Take Command.
Thanks, Craig.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.